All right, guys, welcome. This is Ash Hats Podcast, where we like to smoke cigars and talk to you about things that interest us most. Last month, me and Dustin, my co-host, decided to smoke a Farce Room 101.
We did.
Lonsdale was fantastic.
It was an awesome cigar.
And our topic was conspiracies. We had a lot of fun talking about different things that pique our interest, your favorite being the Titanic, and my favorite, I think, was probably just the aliens and things in general. We had a lot of fun things to talk about.
We forgot the lizard people, though.
Yeah.
I'm really upset we forgot them.
There's nothing wrong with forgetting a little bit here and there. I mean, we're more than happy to go back and talk about weird things that crop up. It's almost election time, so there's going to be more conspiracies right around the corner.
And how.
Today's topic is one that we know and love and we're very, very happy to be talking about, is coffee. And it's a topic that goes along with cigars, and we think that our listeners would be interested in knowing some of the things that we know about coffee. Neither of us is a connoisseur or an aficionado.
You much more than me, though.
Well, I know a lot about, you know, coffee because I really enjoy drinking it. But at the same time, you know, it's not my profession. It's not something that I get paid to do. But I like to like look at weird and unique things that happen in the coffee world and try different blends. And we're going to talk a lot about things that actually interest us. And you're just your general everyday coffee consumer.
I am. I'm a Dunkin' consumer. My morning usually consists of waking up, putting on shorts and shoes, and dragging myself to Dunkin'. Last year, I started doing the cold brew, where I put it in the fridge overnight and do that. And we'll talk about that. I'm staring at your pot. And overall, though, if I forget to do it the night before, I'm going to Dunkin'. If I am good at my routine that night, I'm doing the cold brew coffee.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I guess it.
I love cold brew.
Saves
coffee.
Me a ton of money.
Oh,
like doing that, because it's like $3 every time I fail. That adds up.
Well, and that, not only that, but we wanted to smoke a cigar that goes along with our topic. So we picked you picked this up today, the Tabac Especial. This is the Dolce. So if you've ever had any of these infused, coffee-infused cigars, I think you said Drew Estate. Yeah, it says Drew Estate makes it. It's a short smoke.
It's not
quite as long as
we grabbed the Torpedo. We wanted to do something with a hole punch this session, but all we had found was Torpedo, so we're going with a V-cut.
Very nice. I'm going to cut mine right now. We were also talking, we tried to do different lighting techniques. And you were telling me before the show that you don't like to use anything besides butane.
I'm butane only.
Why is that?
I don't know.
That's strange.
Whenever I use a match or whenever I use like a lighter, I'm not good with flame. So I don't know if I'm just a wimp, but I'll light the matches, pull it from the box, and I'll hold it near it real quick, and then it's out. And then I go through a whole box of pack of matches before my cigar is even lit.
Very nice. Interesting.
Yep. And then I get nervous because, I have 6 matches left.
Right.
So I really got to make these count, you know?
I hate using the little matches, but today I have one of these really long, I like to use these really long kitchen matches. It's about a foot, maybe 18 inches long. And I thought I would roast my cigar. I thought I would light it with a match today just because it goes along with the concept with coffee, because coffee's roasted. That's how the flavor comes out. And I thought that would be kind of nice.
That is kind of nice.
Any of our viewers that listen in, you have to try this at least once. I would recommend if you're buying cigars, you should buy them 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 at a time. And that way you can try different cuts when you're cutting and try different lighting techniques, because they actually give you a different flavor every time. The smaller the opening on the cap, the more concentrated the flavor is going to be. And like you said with your butane, the more direct flame is going to change how the burn is going to happen. So I'm just going to... There we go.
Well, I would never be able to do what you just did.
the light
Mike just spanked the box with his... match, and now is holding the flame to his cigar.
Well, there he goes.
And I would, but I don't think I'm too much of a wimp.
So, yeah, I was going to say it's an intense situation when you're working with matches or whatever. Couple things when you're doing this. So you got to let the match burn for a couple seconds before you light it, because you don't want any of that nasty sulfur that comes off the match. You also don't want the match to touch the cigar directly. So I'm just kind of holding it just above and I'm just turning it slightly. If you take 3 minutes to light the cigar this way, that's normal. That's actually not unheard of. I've also seen a lot of people who don't even cut it before they do this technique. And that way you kind of save all those flavors before they actually go through the cigar. I cut mine first because I like to have a little bit more oxygen going through there to get it lit. The other thing that's important to keep in mind is when you're lighting it, you should light the edges kind of first so that you get a good burn as you're going around the cigar. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure that all my edges are burnt, and then I'm going to start to work towards the middle. I'm not going to put this in my mouth until right near the end. A lot of people, they like to puff on the cigars really heavy and puff and puff and puff, and they get really hot. What I'm trying to do is not make this really hot, but to roast it like you would roast coffee grounds.
That's so cool. I used a single torch butane from Oliva.
There you go.
The Lotus. Did we use this once before?
I think we might have. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, we definitely used this before. But similar to what Mike said, I toasted around the sides.
Look at the convenience. You're already lit. Oh, I'm lit and ready to go. I'm still here lighting the cigar. Like, you can't do this when you're out at a restaurant or if you're like with your buddies or whatever. This is really reserved for a cigar lounge situation where you got some time, you can bullshit a little bit and you can talk.
But that stick is
still smoking.
Still smoking.
How about, we were talking about this before too. There's a band on the foot of this cigar, and I can't stand when companies do that because it's just an extra thing to pull off. I understand you're trying to sell your product and you're trying to
push. Do you think that's like a marketing thing?
It's got to be.
That like, okay, they're going to see it that one more subliminal time.
And that's what they put the name. They put the Dolce. I'm assuming this is going to be a sweet smoke.
It's very sweet and very good.
And it's funny because Dustin was telling me that he's enjoyed these cigars before, and I haven't. I tend not to like the acids that Drew Estate makes
I usually start enjoying the coffee and the flavored cigars around now. Like today is October 28th.
29th. Is it 28th or 29th?
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, yeah.
But like when we start shoveling sidewalks and we're outside for not as long as we normally would be, that's when I start grabbing the nubs or the Java lattes, this one.
We always got to be nervous when you grab your nub. Jeez, you got to be careful. Wow, I just put that in my mouth.
The
and that
first
is...
dad pun there.
Wow. I'm surprised at the way that this tastes. This
you like
is
it?
Very surprising.
It's very,
very
sweet.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
Hmm.
A good sweet, though.
Like, and that's one thing that usually draws me away from Drew Estate is the cigars have a really, really packed taste in the beginning. And I usually really enjoy the tobacco flavor, and that's why I'm usually against them. But, man, this is good.
I find myself, like, almost chewing the smoke.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Because it sits in my mouth.
That is really, really good. I haven't had, I think we were talking about, Blondie's cigars and talking about the first cigar I ever had was a Blondie. It made me really sick. I haven't had a Blondie or a Drew Estate acid that was infused in, oh boy, over a year at least. So this is a surprising change. Thank you very much for
absolutely. I'm happy you're enjoying it.
You actually suggested this topic. So coffee being, you know, something that you know I enjoy and that I
absolutely.
Know you enjoy greatly. When was it that you started? Because I know everybody has a...
Not too long ago. So... I was real sluggish going into my 9-to-5, and my boss that I got along with had a Keurig machine.
Ah, the K-Cups.
And she said, this tastes just like a cinnamon cookie. I'm like, there's no way. And I hated coffee. I hated the scent of it. I hate everything about it. So she's like, you have to try this. And she knew I was a bit wimpy. Like, even with my hot chocolate, I throw 2 ice cubes in.
Yeah, right.
I get a ton of trash for that. But it is what it is, you know?
Right.
And so she's like, go get ice cubes. We'll put it over. You're going to love it. And sure enough, I loved it. And every day I would walk into her office. Hey, Kim, I'm a little tired today. You have any more of those K-Cups? It was probably 6 years ago now. A lot of people start drinking coffee at different ages, and I feel like a lot of people start like in their teens, late teens.
That's
early
when
20s.
I started.
College. Once you start those late nights in college, you start getting that draw towards the caffeine.
Mine were in high school.
Yeah, right? But I started mine my late 20s, and I can't. Oh, the days where I don't get my morning coffee. Cranky pants.
I've seen you without coffee.
It's a nightmare. It's weird because, like, they say caffeine is such an addictive, you know, like, it's
the most abused substance on the planet.
Absolutely. But they say, like, there's a lot of side effects of, like, between the headaches and between, like, just your wherewithal and your equilibrium. And, I mean, with me, oh, I'm an absolute dunce. When I don't have my coffee, like, I'm stumbling my words, like, kind of like episode one.
Yeah, right?
The beginning of episode one, I sure drank a coffee.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, like, coffee is such a stimulant. And, you know, I'm trying to think the first time I had a cup of coffee, I was young because my parents drank it. And it was one of those things, like a rite of passage where, yeah, you know, you always wanted to do what your father, your mother was doing. And my dad used to drink this instant coffee in the morning. And that was the first coffee I ever had. And boy, was it awful. I can't stand instant coffee for anything. I will not take it.
Can you do it today?
I Christina, my wife, likes it. So she has it. Like, very rarely will I ever have an instant coffee around it because I have other options around usually.
Yeah, a couple here.
Right? I mean, we've got the French press going. I've actually got some water brewing. I've got my fireplace in the studio ready and raring to go, and I'm going to make some French press coffee. We're going to talk about the French press because I think that happens to be my favorite way of brewing coffee. But I was young when I started, and I never looked back. Now, I'm an excessive coffee drinker. I drink almost a pot and a half a day. Like, it's
bad. Do you find that it affects your sleep?
Interesting you should mention that. So, like, I can have a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock at night and be perfectly fine to go to sleep, but I'm a late night person, so I don't like to go to sleep before 1 o'clock. So, you know, for those people who are listening to this and it's like, wow, I can't stay up past 9 o'clock, then I might have a situation where I would have a hard time sleeping. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if it affects you.
I have my morning coffee usually between 7:30 and 9. If I'm working on my Miracle Morning or if I'm working on a major project, between 4 and 6. When I'm doing my Miracle Morning, that puts me at a different time frame. So usually I have about a pot of coffee before 8 o'clock a.m. And that just gets everything going, the brain firing where it needs to be to get what I need to done.
Right.
And traditionally, I'll have probably a half a pot before anything else in my day, read, do my meditation, get my day going. But
what about that 2 o'clock feeling?
I can't get through. I need a 15 minute.
There you go.
And a lot of entrepreneurs say that afternoon 15 minute nap is so critical. And I that's why I was a little late today.
Yeah.
I need that 15 minutes just to keep the brain, like, give that brain that little reset.
And that's interesting because I don't nap. Like,
but you also drink a pot and have coffee.
Yeah, so I mean, that might just be kind of how our lives are.
Now, if I have something going on at night and I need an energy drink, like a Red Bull or a small coffee or something, I can't get to bed before midnight. I have till about 6 p.m. Once I have anything after 6 of caffeine, I know I'm not going to bed before midnight. And with the little ones at home, it's kind of counterproductive in my eyes. I'd rather suck it up and just push forward without that caffeine kick. Maybe like a vitamin B pill or something. You know, like something,
5 hour energy.
Something else. Yeah, but like an alternative of some kind. But if I have any form of caffeine, I'm done for. And then I find that affects my, like,
your
days
whole day.
Ahead,
oh, yeah.
The whole next day.
Oh, and, absolutely.
Yeah, the pros don't really weigh out the cons of that, you know?
I can't stand 5 hour energy. It's so disgusting. And you always throw one at me whenever I'm yawning and you're like, oh, have a drink. And I'm like, you know what?
So I have now, the only time I do a 5 hour energy shot is if I'm binge drinking. And that's only because I've learned in my 30s the nutrients that I lose when doing that. And I have some family members who I cherish and love with all my heart that's what we do sometimes.
Right.
And with doing that, I know the next day, oh man, do I struggle. So doing that 5 hour
hangover, right?
Whew, I hang over bad anyway, but the 5 hour kind of keeps those nutrients in me. So it's not as bad the next day.
And it's interesting because, like, it has more than the caffeine. It has, like, that taurine and I don't even know all
guava.
And I see all these energy drinks now that have, like, all these weird named marketing things, but it's the caffeine that I'm always going for. I'll tell you, like, I enjoy a really good caffeinated beverage, like Full Throttle or a Bang or something like that. But coffee hits different. It really is so much different.
I've one more alcohol related topic. I've found that some there's Reign, that the new energy drink came out like 2 years ago. Yep. It's Reign. I found that some of those amino acids, when I drink them, when I drink, kind of carries the alcohol into my bloodstream a little bit faster.
Yep.
So I'm an absolute lightweight when when drinking and drinking Reign. Now Monster, which doesn't have those aminos, mm-hmm. It gives me what I need. But like you said, if I'm having a coffee is probably what trumps the rest of them.
Oh, absolutely.
But a lot of times when you're out and about, you know, you can't really get that coffee. So having that 5-hour in the pocket or that Monster, that little Red Bull.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that definitely hits the spot. What's your order? We always joke about like your order when you go to Dunkin'.
So I'm a big fan of quantity over quality, I say.
Yeah.
So I'll order a large ice from Dunkin', and I'll get 2 cream, 2 with sugar. And then I'll say no ice, and then a French vanilla shot. And what started happening to me, I realized as I got older, I kind of had like a little dairy hiccup. I switched from the cream to the almond milk, which is fine. I really enjoy it. But so now it's 2 almond milk, 2 liquid sugar. I cut that liquid sugar to 0. So now it's just 2 almond milk and the French vanilla shot. But I get so much heat for getting no ice.
Oh, I laugh at you all the time.
It's and then they usually screw it
up. Yeah.
They always screw it up. But sometimes they get a freebie. You're like, oh, what do you want to say? Okay. But if they put so much ice in that cup and it's already cold, it's the equivalency of less than a small cup of coffee.
Yeah, you're not getting your money's worth.
So and it's more expensive than the hot. So I always go quantity over quality, no ice in my Dunkin'.
And you're big on the iced coffee, too, which if you'd get regular sugar and iced coffee, I will only drink iced coffee in the summer. And if they put the regular sugar in and it's crunchy,
I read a study that does so much damage to your teeth.
I believe it.
And when I started drinking coffee, and knock on wood, I've only had like 7 cavities my whole life. But when I started getting the coffee, I would get just regular sugar. And I had 3 cavities, which for me was an absolute anomaly. And I switched back to liquid sugar, and I've been fine since, but very weird.
Yeah,
you know, I guess like it just eats at the part of the teeth.
Well, yeah, the feet of the bacteria and stuff. I go large black with mocha swirl. That's it. I don't get anything else. As much as I love coffee and cigars, I like chocolate just as much, so I am addicted to mocha. Like, when things are mocha-flavored, I'm usually trying them. I don't go all the time. Like, I sometimes will put, like, chocolate syrup in my coffee in the morning, and that'll give me a little extra kick, but I like my coffee black. I don't like any dairy. And I should say that with exception, because sometimes you just want something sweet. So, like, you put maybe a tablespoon of sugar just to try it, you know, once in a while, or maybe a little bit of cream. I'll go half and half rather than going milk, because the cream really gives like a nice smooth flavor to it. But like, I'm not that big into the cappuccinos and the macchiatos and the lattes and the fancy
now,
stuff like that.
You and I have talked about about Dunkin' a lot. Do you think what you just said, I'm the same way, is what deters us from going to Starbucks more?
It might be. I don't like the way Starbucks coffee tastes, personally. I think it's very bitter.
Thing I like from Starbucks is the nitro.
And it's
sporadic. It's not at every one. Like, the one in our nearby shops in Montage does not have it.
That's correct.
But the one at the Steamtown Mall does. But I won't be caught dead at the Steamtown Mall.
Right.
You know, because I might end up dead.
Right? Granted, it's an interesting town, nevertheless. It's interesting with nitro, just to kind of give a little aside, that they add the nitrogen into the brew, and it's kind of like with Guinness, where it changes the chemistry a little bit of the flavor. And when you drink it, you can tell that basically the compounds have changed so much that you can actually taste that difference. And I'm not big on nitro. I've never been.
What brings me to the nitro is Guinness's hands down end all be all my
That's why I mentioned
libation
it,
of
I know
choice.
You're big on
oh,
Guinness.
Oh yeah. Every day is a wonderful day for a Guinness.
Right?
Absolutely. I will drink Guinness in the middle of August and the middle of January.
Right. And it's just like coffee.
You know that. Yeah. Absolutely. I love my Guinness.
Well, and it gives it that like that rich head on it, and it's got all that like it's so unique, the flavoring. And then people mix the coffee with alcohol. You have coffee with Guinness. You can mix the coffee with Bailey's and Jameson and stuff like that. And coffee just kind of goes hand in hand with so many different things. And that's kind of why we thought it would be a good topic to bring up.
So with coffee and cigars, coffee is predominantly a morning drink. How often do you have a cigar with coffee?
Very interesting concept and topic, to say the least, because I like to have my coffee in the morning. It's tough to have a cigar in the morning just because of the schedule. I feel like you have to wake up early in order to sit back and enjoy. But I have had a cigar in the morning, and boy, does that hits the spot sometimes when you're like, you first waking up and you're like, all right, I'm going to go get my coffee ready. I've got it brewed. I'm ready to go. And then you get that cigar lit and you're actually like calmed and relaxed. And that's what cigars do, is they give you this sense of peace. And coffee being a stimulant and the cigar is giving you peaceful, it's almost like an interesting balance. Yeah, yin and yang, if you will. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. But a lot of people are really big on coffee and cigars, and they don't necessarily always, you know, smoke them in the morning. They don't have to, you know. I enjoy coffee pretty much any time of the day. I don't always have a coffee with a cigar. I'm used to drinking my waters, but like, I'm happy now that I get to smoke the cigar with you and make some coffee.
This is probably my first cigar and coffee of the year.
Interesting.
I traditionally will have a cigar early in the morning only when smoking meats.
Ah, okay.
But in 2020, there hasn't been a lot of reason to smoke those 8, 10, 12-hour meats.
Right.
Because if you're going to smoke that meat, usually you're doing it for a gathering.
Correct.
We haven't been having many gatherings.
No, we have not.
I think around Thanksgiving, I'll probably do it, and because I like to smoke my turkey a little longer. My salmon.
Love the salmon smoked. Absolutely.
So it's coming.
That might have to be our next episode.
Oh, smoking meats?
Yeah, right?
I love my smoked meats.
That's a good way to go about it. I am going to actually put my coffee on. So
okay.
I have, you know, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a heads up here, because I love the French press coffee, and I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an idea as to how I do it. I got my little 8-cup coffee from Bottom, my coffee maker here. And what's your favorite brand of coffee? Like when you buy the grounds at the store?
I don't care.
So you go Folgers, Maxwell House?
What's on sale and what's the boldest?
Okay. I like Gevalia, like the yellow bag.
Okay.
That's my favorite coffee of all time. Fantastic coffee. Suggest it to anybody. So I've got my Gevalia.
I'll try that.
Coffee.
I've never had it. Is that what I'm drinking now?
Yeah, that's actually Gevalia.
I was complimenting it pre-show, yeah.
And if you've never had it before, it's in the yellow bag. It's really good. Find it at any grocery store or whatever it might be. But I also add in espresso grounds. So I love my espresso. I'm very big on espresso. So the coffee that I have here that I'm hoping after it cools down a bit, Dustin can try, has, it's an 8-cup maker. So you put in one scoop. I have full scoops per cup. So that's 8 scoops of coffee, but I did 7 a regular, and then I usually do 1 of the espresso. And I'm going to throw my water on now, if you give me a second.
Sure thing. So what I do is the cold brew, as I mentioned. And what I do is I put the grounds. They have this device or mechanism that we put all the grounds in, and then you pour the water over it. You dip it into the water, and it seeps throughout overnight, creating the cold brew.
I feel like cold brew is a more modern, like, you never had cold brew before for some
reason. So simple, too. And it seems like it's stronger. And the part of watching Mike pour this water was such a delight. I'm not a big fan of watching people struggle, I swear. But boy,
I was
that
burning
was
my hand.
I was like, I don't know if I should help.
Couple things here. You don't put boiling water on coffee because it'll destroy the tannins, and the coffee oil is the oil that's in there. So you let it sit. And it's like nice and hot. Like, I don't know, maybe 200 degrees Fahrenheit or whatever it might be. I don't have a thermometer on it, but that's what I meant by we're not coffee snobs or cigar snobs by any stretch. We just like to enjoy good things. But from what you read on the internet, these are some of the things that I see that are good tips. When you make coffee, do you ever notice like it has like a bubbly sort of foaminess
to
it? That's carbon dioxide that's trapped in the bean. And I knew a little bit about it, but I did a little bit of research on it. And you have to let it bloom. You have to let that stuff out so that it actually releases all the flavor. 95% of the caffeine in coffee comes out in the first minute of brewing, which I thought was insane to think of, because cold brew, you let it sit for 24 hours. That probably takes a much longer time for the caffeine to get out. But from what I've read, when you do hot coffee, 95% of all the caffeine is coming out in the first minute. So all I'm going to do now is I'm just going to stir it real quick.
A lot of chemistry involved with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's my jam. There we go.
Now, do you find that the science behind coffee is what attracts you to it?
A big part of it is the science, because I'm used to boiling things and watching things change chemically, and I definitely do find interest in that. But at the same time, it's a marriage of, you know, convenience and joy of enjoying the drink, plus the things that I'm passionate about. You know, I'm passionate about chemistry and passionate about understanding how the natural world works, and it kind of just goes together well. I'm going to pop the lid on this real quick.
Absolutely. I'm about a third through my cigar already, and I'm loving it. Oh, one thing about Drew Estate is and I love them, but like you mentioned, a lot of times that taste dissipates throughout.
Mm-hmm.
This is holding strong.
Yeah, I can taste the flavor from the beginning all the way through, and it is still very, it's interesting, the flavor. It's hard to describe.
Chocolate coffee?
I want to say chocolate was the very, very first flavor I tasted when I put this in my mouth.
But it's a rich chocolate. It's not darker.
And it's not, the wrapper on this is, I would say, like a medium brown. It's almost, it's actually a little darker than Connecticut, I would probably guess. But it's not Maduro by any stretch.
Mm-mm.
I was expecting it to be, you know, like a really strong coffee flavor. And the coffee flavor is very mild. And it's partly because it's infused with coffee. And I know people are really big on infusing cigars with rum and bourbon and different things. Coffee infusion, I mean, this is just like, this is a great smoke.
You're almost halfway through.
Maybe. I'd say closer to half. I smoke a little faster than you do.
You do.
But have you ashed yet?
I have not.
No, neither have I. I noticed with these cigars, the ring gauge is a lot bigger on them, so they maintain the ash much, much better, I guess.
I feel like Drew Estate's very good with wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always had good ash
with
Drew Estate.
Yeah, I've never had a major issue with them. But then again, I don't smoke a lot of Drew Estate. However, and now that I think about it, I if I'm not mistaken, Undercrown is one that I've enjoyed before, and that's a Drew Estate. It's very interesting when you go and you look at some of the companies that make these things. They have such a large repertoire of different cigars that they provide, and that's one of them that now that I think about it.
Their catalog is vast.
Oh, incredibly.
And all good. I've never had a bad Drew Estate cigar.
Now, while I'm waiting here, I'm trying to wait. 4 minutes is the brew time, give or take. Going back to talk a little bit about K-Cups, I am not a big K-Cup fan at all. They are probably the most popular way that people drink coffee nowadays.
Do you think it's because of ease and just the world we live in? That's got to be what it is. The efficiency behind it?
It is so easy to make K-Cup coffee. I mean, literally, you're pouring the water in, you pop the cup in. The problems I have with it are the K-Cups are really bad for the environment. And I know anybody listening to this is like, oh boy, here he goes. Granted, don't get me wrong. I'm a, you know, normal everyday kind of guy. I'm interested in science and obviously interested in, you know, keeping the environment healthy. But the plastic that they use is non-recyclable. It's one of the very few things that exist that's hard to recycle. And I'm just thinking, like, the person who invented this thing should have thought of something better. We have like those replaceable K-Cup things that have like mesh bag or whatever, so that you put the coffee grounds in and it still works. I feel like K-Cup is too similar to drip coffee. Do you remember the old coffee makers? Like maybe your parents had one where you put the pot on and the coffee grounds would get wet and they'd pour it over.
100%.
My parents had one too. And I don't know, the way that coffee tastes, it just doesn't taste right to me.
I feel like the last time I had that was Jeffrey's wedding day, actually.
It's very common amongst, I don't want to say old people, but some
that
people.
Demographic.
That demographic. And it's funny because our age group, we're more into like the modern stuff.
To compound that, I feel like our age demographic is very into their health.
Yes.
And the cold brew fits intermittent fasting, which is extremely popular right now, very well.
Yes.
Because it's under that 50 calorie threshold. So you can drink that all morning and it won't interrupt your fasting.
Right.
And the cold brew has good flavor in itself. So if you're drinking that, you're getting what you need from your coffee without interrupting a goal.
Right. Exactly. And that's an interesting thing that you mentioned, because in dieting circles, coffee kind of gets a bad rep because, A, the caffeine, if you're taking a supplement and there's caffeine in it, you could potentially go overboard with your caffeine intake, and that could be a major issue. But a lot of people put sugar and dairy in their coffee, and that's a huge no-no, especially if you're dieting.
So it's killing me. October kills me with coffee because that mental, oh, I won't make my cold brew tonight because I love Dunkin's pumpkin coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And I do all I can to not look at that caloric intake, but our good friends over at the No Script to Life podcast shared a diagram about pumpkin coffees. Yep. And Mike and Kyle, if you're listening to this, man, when I saw that, I didn't have pumpkin coffee for weeks. That, oh, I was sweating. I'm like, oh my God, I'm starting my day with 500 to 700 calories. That's terrible.
Dustin puts on his UGG boots and goes and gets a PSL, and he's already like all the way through his calories into lunch.
It's funny because I do have a pair of the UGG slippers, and nobody will ever see them on me. Yeah, they're right. But they are my morning slippers, and they're super comfy.
Oh, I believe it. But. Well, I think this is a good time. I'm gonna cut to a short break, and I'm gonna pour my coffee so I can enjoy it. But while our listeners are enjoying some music, hopefully you enjoyed some of the music in the last episode. It's a creation of my own. I actually do some interesting music mixing. But when we come back, we'll actually talk a little bit more about not only, you know, French press coffee, but espresso, some of the coffee flavored, you know, things that we enjoy, because there's more to this than just regular old coffee that comes in a mug.
We'll be right back.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're here with Ash Hats Podcast, enjoying a couple of fantastic Tabaco Espacial Dolce cigars. They're very sweet and very coffee flavored. I'm getting more chocolate flavored now than I was even before. And we're talking about coffee. We're making coffee. We're enjoying ourselves here. I was just commenting to Dustin about his excitement over consuming 700 calories of
can't beat it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
who doesn't get excited to have 700 calories before 8 a.m. Unbelievable.
So we made a cup of French press coffee, and give it the 4 minutes, let it brew, press it down, give the plunger a good squeeze, and that coffee comes out. I like to note that the coffee, when you pour it, like, it should have a little bit of froth on the top of it, and I can see mine has a little bit of froth. I like to drink coffee hot and fast, which is funny because, like, when I have my coffee, I'm usually done with a mug of coffee in maybe 30 minutes. Like, I'm usually done with my first full cup of coffee. If I start it drinking at 8 o'clock, I'm done before 9. Like, do you sit on your coffee? Or?
Absolutely not. I like to drink mine cold and fast.
Cold and fast. There you go.
I will pour it. If I got my Dunkin', it takes me about 7 minutes between my Dunkin' Donuts and home. There's some mornings it's a large iced coffee's gone before I get home.
That's nuts.
I've seen you do that though.
I've seen you slug down.
I love just crushing it.
I remember you drinking one and then going right back in and be like, I need another one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of those early mornings.
1400 calories, the double dipping. Right? One thing though, Mike also did make was a pot of cold brew. And we were talking in our break how I'm one to put the cream, and I don't use sugar anymore, but when I did, I like to put my cream and sugar in before my coffee. Why? Because I feel like that mixes it as the coffee's going in. It's mixing it on its own. I feel like that brings a little bit flavor out. I don't do that much anymore because I'm not really into the creams and sugars, unless it's from Dunkin', of course, so I can get my caloric intake. Right. But if I'm at home and like I want like a splash of milk one morning, I'll put that in my cup first. Do you do something similar?
It's interesting because sometimes my wife will make a cup of coffee and she'll throw in a splash of cream. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, she told me she put creamer in it. I'm like, where did it go? And it, like, it's weird. It sits like in the bottom of the coffee until you mix it. So you're absolutely right. If you put the creamer and the sugar in first and then you pour the coffee in, it does like this crazy mixture then and there. You don't got to mix it or nothing.
It tastes significantly different. Mm-hmm. Do you notice that as well?
I do. It's almost like you're warming the coffee. You're warming the cream, excuse me, with the coffee, and it kind of brings out more of a smooth flavor, rich flavor to it. I do happen to enjoy cream and sugar occasionally. Like I said, I'm drinking this coffee black because, you know, I like my French press black. But when I do enjoy it with cream and sugar, I like to put them in first. We were also talking a little bit about espresso. Now, you in your caffeine and caloric intake and all this other have you ever had the shot of espresso from Dunkin' or anything like that?
Rarely. If Benny has me up from 2-3 o'clock on and I have a long day ahead of me, I will do the espresso. But I feel we were talking also about that caffeine rush. I feel like I have more of a lull and more of a drop when I do the espresso. Like, I feel like I can feel when it wears off.
Fun fact, there's less caffeine in an espresso, a cup of espresso, than there is in a full cup of coffee.
How bizarre.
It's because of volume. So if you have a full mug of coffee and you're drinking that coffee, the caffeine content is actually much higher than that cup of espresso. But you got to remember, the espresso is more concentrated. So one espresso versus one cup of coffee, they're close in their caffeine content, but the cup of coffee actually has more caffeine. Now, we were also talking a little bit about like the different roasts, and there's like light roast and medium roast. You were asking me, is this a medium coffee in this cold brew? Like, do you like the dark roast over the?
Oh yeah, the darker the better. I midnight black
as French silk. Yes, I've had that before.
I love that feel of that caffeine kick in the morning, like when the eyes go wide and it's like, here it is. You know, I love that.
Another fun fact, the caffeine content doesn't matter on the color.
Will you stop your...
I know, right? I love doing that.
You're debunking me.
No, because it's a common... It's the same thing with cigars. People think the darker the cigar...
But I feel the difference.
You do. And that might be a little bit of a placebo effect. Like,
that's fine.
You might see it. No, it's absolutely like... Some people, when they smoke a dark cigar, they're like, oh man, this is gonna be so rough and so hard. And sometimes the oils are... But you're right in the fact that that dark roast coffee, it has a bolder flavor, but the caffeine isn't different.
So does that bolder flavor do anything from a light roast to a dark roast in terms of...
In terms of caffeine, no. I mean, it might give you a physiological difference in terms of your excitement of it. Like, you might feel like, man, I'm ready to go because I had that dark coffee.
I gotcha.
Light roast coffee, and the same thing with even light cigars, have more complexity because they're roasted. Cigars aren't roasted. They're fermented for a different period of time. That complexity is caused because they're not exposed to sun or roasted for as long a period of time. The darker coffees and the darker cigars, they've been out in the sun or they've been roasted for a longer period of time, and that causes a larger breakdown of the chemicals, changes their flavor.
It's funny you say that, though, about cigars. Remember the Bugattis?
Mm-hmm.
The Perdomo Bugattis? I never got that.
Oh, they were dark.
They were dark, but they felt like a Connecticut wrap to me.
Yeah, they did.
But when we do the MX2, the CAO MX2 or the CAO LX2.
I can't wait to have one of those again. Oh, I haven't had that in a while.
Same. But I did get that darker feel, and I did get that little twist in the stomach.
Mm-hmm. And that's true also. I know, like, when I'm having a coffee that is a dark roast, and this is a dark roast, when you taste it, you're going to taste the bitterness to it. That's the key, is, like, the bitter flavor versus the caffeine content. And it's weird with caffeine, because caffeine is unique in that what it does is it prevents your body from feeling tired. So in terms of like what it's actually doing for you, it's not even so much that it's like causing you to gain more energy or like, you know, supercharge yourself. It's actually preventing you from feeling more calm and feeling more relaxed. It's a complicated blocking of a cell receptor, and it has a lot of biochemistry involved with it. But in terms of like what's actually happening, it's different than what most people think. Like, I know it raises your heart rate, and like you were saying, you like to have a cup of coffee to help you go in the morning. Which is, you know, interesting.
And by go, he means bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. I hate that with coffee. I absolutely hate it.
I found that the cream would make it happen a little bit more frequent, and I'd have to go 2 or 3 times in the morning rather than that one morning deposit.
Right.
But, it definitely works as a diuretic for me.
Oh, God. And that's part of the biggest issues I also have with coffee is, like, if I'm going on a long car trip, and I love having my coffee in the morning, but I feel bad because the second I get in the car, it's like, oh, I got to pee. Yep. 10 minutes later. Yep. I had that coffee. Got to pee again.
When I'm on the road or if I'm traveling for whatever, I usually just wake up an hour early, slug that hotel coffee, you know, just to get, like, if we stop somewhere to get coffee, that's cool. but that morning, whatever chain of events that will happen with coffee occurs even with that hotel coffee.
Oh, absolutely. Do you feel like coffee that you have out is different than the coffee you make at home?
Absolutely.
Me too, and it's the weirdest thing. Like, you could buy a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee and make it at home. It will not taste the same as when you buy it in there.
I think it's because of the quantity made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Dunkin' makes a pot, it's not our everyday pot of coffee. It's a industrial-sized commercial pot of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, the credits and debits, so to say, in that pot of coffee are so much different than when we're just making one pot at home.
And it's weird. Like, I used to make my coffee lighter. Like, I would make it with less grounds because I figured I would stretch that canister of coffee longer by putting less in. And, like, the flavor is definitely different. But something about coffee when you go to, like, a restaurant and you're getting a cup of coffee after dinner, like, it just, it tastes so much different when someone else is making it for you.
I feel like diner coffee.
Yeah.
Is very similar to home. That's the closest thing to home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's unique.
Absolute. Hmm. Real quick, I'm about 2/3 through.
Hmm. Me too.
It's the flavors remaining. If anything, like you mentioned, coming back from break, it's getting stronger.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I feel like acids don't have that.
No, they don't.
They,
I would say that by and large, like the thin acids, like the Blondies and the Cuba Cuba, they seem to dissipate real quick. This is like...
It's almost like a pack of bubble gum with the acids. Like you get that flavor kick for 2 minutes and then it's gone. But
the fruit strike,
this is holding strong and it's actually getting more flavorful.
Mm-hmm. My wrapper's falling apart a little bit, but that's no consequence of the cigar.
Mine's holding strong.
Yeah, I noticed yours. Yeah. And what's also interesting is that the cigar itself, like as a torpedo, that's going to cause some of the concentration to change. And we decided to do the V-cut, so that's going to help to concentrate it as well. But when it comes to something like a Drew Estate that's not flavored, you don't notice that sort of differences in the, you know, the sugary content. Like, I can definitely taste the sugar in this.
Yes.
And it's real powerful.
It's good powerful.
It is. It's good. And again,
so
I'm not used to that.
You mentioned about your wrapper falling apart. Do you think, and mine's perfect. Like, I have zero issues with my wrapper whatsoever. Do you think it's because of butane versus the flame?
You know, I don't know.
Because, like, your heat expanded a little bit. And as it traveled for 3 minutes under that heat, could be.
It could be. Absolutely. And you got to remember, every cigar is gonna be different. Some of the weird
definitely
things.
A hand roll.
Oh yeah, definitely. Some of the weird things that happen. Like, have you ever had a cigar boat on you where like half of it burns and the other half doesn't?
Is it
like,
boating or canoeing?
You know, it's, I've heard both.
I've said both. I traditionally call it canoeing because it kind of looks like the canoe on a on a nice starry night. But how do you overcome it?
With canoeing or boating, all I do is I relight that section, and it usually is so thin that it just it combusts right away and it turns into ash.
Before I relight, I try to spin it. I twirl it a little bit. Like, I'll take a hit from one side, switch to the other, and try to do it on my own before bringing a flame back to the cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It works 75-80% of the time, but the other 20%, the flame's coming back to it.
Right, exactly. And that's with this guy here, I kind of had like a bust open in the middle. And that doesn't really affect me too much. I'm not really too concerned with it. Now, if the wrapper started to peel, I'd kind of be bummed by it. But, you know, do you ever do the trick where you lick the wrapper back on there? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This one is still holding strong. I'm still enjoying
it. I noticed when I took off my wrapper, the draw is causing the cigar to expand a little bit.
Yep, I did notice that too. I'm bulging a little
bit. I've never seen that before. Have you?
I have not. It might be because of the sugar content. It might be because of the fact that they infused it with coffee. But in the same token, I mean, I don't know what the humidity was. You bought this at a reputable shop, and they're taking care of their cigars.
I always look at their humidor. They're at 71.
Right. So
that's right where you want it.
Right.
Especially in October.
Right. And that's an interesting sort of concept that we could be having is, you know, whether or not we should have our humidors at a higher temperature.
We touched on that in previous episodes.
Yeah, we did. I actually have been running mine right around 68, and it's only because I've been adding more cigars in.
68 is right where all three of mine are.
Right, surprisingly enough, which is not bad. That's a good number. Good number to be having.
Real quick, do you change that throughout the year? Hmm. Like your temperature?
It's interesting. Temperature-wise, it's hard to control. you know, with your humidity and your hydrometer measuring that, it's a little bit easier because you can add and subtract water from it. It really depends not only on the time of year, because it's drier in the wintertime than it is in the summer. Like when we have a really warm day, my hydrometer starts going through the roof and it's got to be a poor seal. But when you add more cigars in, you've got to add more liquid because they need more humidity. They need more. They're going to absorb more. When I put a brand new box in my humidor not too long ago, and all of a sudden the hydrometer dropped. And I'm going, where did all the humidity go? Those cigars soaked it right up. So you really have to be mindful of it. But you also you have to be careful not to open your humidor too much because you don't want to let all that good humidity out.
In the summer, I'm putting water in mine almost every 10 days, especially the big one.
Yes, your 500 cigar. You know,
that has 500 in it.
And that's the thing. My 500 holder has roughly about 150, 200 cigars in it, and it's not used to having that much in it. And so it's kind of, you know, dealing with that. With my, you know, coffee love, I also tend to think about like the fake coffee. I don't want to call them fake, but like, have you ever seen the Frappuccinos, like the coffee drinks that they sell at
like the ready to drinks?
Yeah, like Java, or I should say Monster makes the Javas now. Like, I don't know what it is about those, but they're kind of like such a false coffee. It's weird.
I've had them, and one time when I was powerlifting or dieting, I turned it around and looked at the supplemental facts.
Yeah.
And or the nutritional facts, and that was the last time I had them.
Yeah,
there is so I think the Dunkin' one has 47 grams of carbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just so much bad in them,
and that's true. And
the taste isn't there, and it's like, what are you getting? Like, you could get a Monster if you're getting a ready to drink. At that point, just get a Monster,
right? Exactly.
You know, like,
or get a water,
right? Or water, right? Right. And you get a lot of energy from water itself too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that coffee's delicious. I now, and that's something else that we wanted to mention is when you're drinking something and smoking a cigar, like the flavors combine in such a unique way on your tongue. This cigar tastes a lot like the coffee, and I've never had that before, and it's because this is the first time I'm ever having a coffee-infused cigar.
It goes very well with coffee.
It really does.
Like, I'm shocked. When I do smoked meats, this will probably be my go-to. Honest to goodness, absolutely.
Now, another thing that is interesting about this sort of concept is, what do you do with the grounds afterwards?
I traditionally put them in my yard.
Interesting.
I don't know what it does, but it feels good in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're good
for the yard. They're absolutely good for
the yard. In a rainy day, they'll go in the trash. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, but
my wife puts them down the drain, and it drives me nuts. I'm like, why in the world are you putting them down the drain? Like, I have a family member who composts, and they're always taking the coffee grounds. And I actually have a garden in my yard now, and that's where a lot of my coffee grounds go, because there actually is a lot of good fiber and stuff in the coffee grounds. You can take those coffee grounds, and you can do, like, I've seen coffee soap. I've seen coffee fire logs, like, that you can put on the fire that are made from leftover coffee grounds that they compress, and they turn into a burnable.
You ever put it in the...
I have. The worst thing about it is it doesn't smell like coffee. Like, I was so disappointed when I saw that, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to try this when I get home. And I put it on, and I got no flavor, no scent.
So how do they formulate it into a brick?
All they do is it's kind of like taking paper pulp, and you get it wet, and you just put it into the form, and you just squeeze all the water out. You do the exact same thing with a coffee ground.
Did you ever see the paper bricks, like the machine that turns paper into bricks.
That's exactly the same way they do it. Yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, it's got tons of fiber in it. Like, it has the capability to burn.
I wonder what would happen if you did like half paper and then half grounds.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Let's try it. I mean,
yeah. Well, the paper burns great. And I know those logs burn good.
Yeah. And that machine is like $8 on Amazon. Like, it's not an expensive thing to do. And you do have the means here.
Yeah.
Be interested to see what happens with that.
I would, if anybody's interested in that sort of concept, they're a very good way of doing it.
One good thing to try is some of your leftover cigars.
Yep.
Throw them in there too, because at the end of the day, they're just leaves.
I do throw my cigars in the fire. You know, I
also throw my cigars in your fire.
Yes, you have. I usually, if we're having a party where we're playing poker, we're smoking cigars, the ashtray at the end of the night has a couple little nubs in it. They go right into the flame, and it's a good way to get rid of the leftover garbage, because I hate throwing that stuff out. And it's just ash. It's just leaves. It's mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. We interestingly enough, the coffee mugs that we chose harold back to our previous episode. So I'm a big fan of the Beatles. We talked a little bit about the conspiracy in the Beatles, and I have my coffee mug is the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album cover, and I gave you the Abbey Road. Do you have a favorite mug or favorite cup that you use?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's, which one? I let me guess. It's got to be Notre Dame.
No, it's that Gurkha Wide Mouth.
Oh, okay.
Remember those Gurkha Wide Mouth? It's like triple cup.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee mugs. Yeah, I love them. It holds about a half a pot in there. And
it's interesting you should say that, because this is a small cup, the one mm-hmm. that I gave you. And we also have, like, I put some creamer out here for Dustin because I didn't know whether or not he'd want some creamer. The green mug I have on my table, that's my go-to coffee cup. That holds about half a pot, and that's the one that I like to use. I got a Yeti from
Jeffrey,
and that holds an entire pot of coffee. And it holds it hot all day long. Do you have like any of the thermoses or like the?
I don't bring coffee with me.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's a mess, and I rarely drink coffee while on the road, only because of that diuretic sensation we previously spoke about. I don't want that to happen in a situation. Because the thing with coffee is it hits you, and you have no choice.
Nope.
You have one place to go, and that is to the bathroom. And if you're in a situation where you can't go, or if you're in someone else's house,
yep.
that is not a deposit I want to make in some foreign bank by any means.
No,
I wouldn't wish that on any plumbing.
Right. No, and it's funny because like I'm the complete opposite. I love drinking coffee on the way to work. I'm usually done with it sometimes before I even get into work. I have my commute maybe only 20 or 30 minutes, but like I get into work and I'm like, oh man. Like, I enjoyed that coffee. I forget that I drank the whole thing, and I'm going back to that cup like, oh, man, where'd that coffee go?
The only thing I do quirky with my coffee is in the Dunkin' cup, right? Are you familiar with the Dunkin' iced coffee? Uh-huh. You know that orange line?
Mm-hmm.
I won't drink that. I put that in the fridge.
Interesting.
And I drink that when I get home. I don't know why. I've been doing it for 2 years when I do my Dunkin'. If I don't do that, usually I'll leave about a third of the pot. And I'll drink that.
Interesting.
It's smaller than that, but yeah. It's just that splash. It's so bizarre, but it's a weird quirk of mine.
People do that. I mean,
I guess. I do that.
I don't know if anybody does what you do, but that's interesting right. to say the least.
Yeah. Do you have any weird quirks with coffee?
You know, I have a favorite mug. I have a Harvard mug that I got from way back when I went to Harvard. Not to go to school there. I went to visit. And that's my favorite mug. And it's so weird with retaining heat that I oftentimes will have to reheat my coffee because my kids get my attention and I'm off doing something, playing Pokemon cards or whatever it is with Luke. And I come back and that coffee's cold. I put it in the microwave. It burns so bad. Like, it's so hot when it comes out. And I'm like, oh, boy. But I still love that cup. Like,
I gotcha.
It's my favorite cup. I always go to it. And I think most people who drink coffee have a favorite cup that they...
I think so, too.
I think I read something somewhere that was like, if you know how to make your partner's coffee, like, that's the best thing that you can do for them is just know how they like their coffee and make it that way. Does Beth drink?
Beth has never had a cup of coffee.
Interesting.
Ever. She's had Dr. Pepper at 8 a.m.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
But she does know how to make my coffee simply because you pull that device it's out easy. Of the middle, you hold it over the cup, you pour it over,
and you're done.
And you're done. And if I'm on the computer, hey, can you get me a cup of coffee? I'm really into this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 3 seconds. That's, here you go.
Christina is my go-to coffee barista, and she knows how I, and she likes her coffee with... Her Dunkin' Donuts order is the cream, liquid sugar, and caramel. She's big on the caramel Ooh. Flavoring. Yeah.
Now, they're getting rid of a flavor.
Are they?
I forget. It might be. No, it's hazelnut.
Oh, wow. That's
they're getting
shocking.
Rid of hazelnut. I just found out this
Have
week.
Have you tried the hazelnut?
That's probably flavor. My number two.
That's a popular flavor. I'm surprised that they were getting rid of that.
It's all rumor. I can't confirm or deny.
I can't stand that flavor.
Somebody said that to me. Yeah. If I'm sick of French vanilla, I'll go to the hazelnut.
I feel like French vanilla is a very popular flavor. Like, you go and, like, there's so many things that people add into coffee to make them unique, and French vanilla just seems like it goes in everybody's coffee. Everybody's
their pumpkin is easy. They'll have their pumpkin flavor now through March.
I've noticed that they start earlier, September 1st, like, with pumpkin flavor all of a sudden, and they'll go all the way through March, and they're getting ready for McDonald's to get out the Shamrock Shakes.
Already?
Like, no, but in March they are.
Oh, right.
Right. Have you ever had McDonald's coffee?
Yes, and I don't mind it. I like that over Burger King's. Mm. Burger King's coffee, I think, is
never
is the
coffee.
Pig's liquid.
Really?
Oh, Burger King's coffee is not good for me.
I
no, it doesn't taste good. I don't like it. To each their own. Coffee is right. One of those things, like anything else, to each their own. But McDonald's coffee, the first time I had it was after my powerlifting contest. I had to drive home after. And you've seen the Instagram video. It was a busy day for me.
Oh yeah,
I did very well, and I did. And but I had to drive home, and I was exhausted. And when I hit the Allentown stop, that was all that was there.
Yep.
And I got it, and it was fantastic. I don't do it often. If I have it once a year, that's a lot. I actually, when we did the Niagara Falls trip, I had it twice. No problems. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I have no qualms about McDonald's coffee.
Their coffee is cheap. That's what I like about it. Because
but it's not bad.
It's not bad. And it's funny because everybody thinks if the price is low, it's not going to taste right. And McDonald's has the notorious court case with the coffee. Remember? That's
yes.
The reason why the cup says that the liquid is hot. Like, you would think, of course it's hot. It's because somebody was burned. They used to have their coffee at so high of a temperature that like it was insanely like near boiling. Like, I can't imagine going in and having that hot of a coffee. That would be insane.
I can't either.
And it's interesting because now we're in such a litigious and everybody's so happy. Like, you have to be careful and put these warning labels on things.
Everything.
I enjoy my coffee hot, but I don't know that I could have it that hot. But it's interesting to see like the historical things that come up with something minor as just a regular everyday coffee. Like, I don't know. I remember when I was in college, we had a couple coffee shops. In Penn State, we used to get coffee at Sheets. Mm-hmm. And they had like the little red light on the machine. And if the light's blinking, you get a free cup of coffee. I still to this day will go into Sheets just to see if the red light is blinking to try to get a free cup of coffee.
That's insane. That's right on par for you, though.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing that's happening on my cigar that I've never seen is it looks like it like split ends. Mm-hmm. Do you have that too?
A little bit. I'm starting to get to the point now where
we're
I'm
nubbing.
At my almost to the bottom. I'm definitely at the bottom third, and my the spot in the wrapper where it blew out is actually where I'm at now. And it's definitely like got to that point where it's almost mushy.
Yeah, like, it looks like an afro.
Yeah, kind of.
Like it's not a normal ash.
No, it's not.
Nothing wrong with the taste. Nothing wrong with the smoke. The smoke coming out of it's perfect, but I wonder if that has to do with like that sugar, like you mentioned.
Oh, it might. Absolutely. Now, will you go all the way down? Because I've been thinking about investing. I'm always looking for new cigar, like paraphernalia. And I'm thinking about investing in one of those. They're called cigar daggers, where you can stab the cigar and allows you to almost like a roach clip to smoke it all the way down. Have you ever tried that or had one before?
I have no interest in it because similar to the flame, I feel like that's just a recipe for burning myself.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes I'm an absolute nitwit with things, and I feel like that would be nitwit material for me.
Right.
And I think I don't think it would do anything for me other than burn my lips.
I don't want to spend the money on it. And you're right. I mean, it's interesting that that thing exists, and I'm sure people use it to their advantage.
Do you have a roach clip?
I do not.
I want to get one because there's some cigars you just don't want to end.
This is one of them. That's the reason why I mentioned it, because I'm like, I'm going to burn this down all the way to the bottom.
Now, it's funny because previous episodes and future episodes, we'll usually split a box of it.
Right.
And we said with this one, let's just go to a cigar shop, get two, because it's not in our normal.
Yeah, like I was even mentioning, this is the first time I've had one. And if I'm on Cigar Bid and I'm looking for cigars, this is not the one I'm looking for.
Like, I would have this in my humidor for Freddie.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Eric and Nick, right. You know, like, I would have this, but for me, I couldn't justify it. And you felt the same way.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Part of me regrets it.
I kind of agree with you that this is a fantastic smoke. Like, this is definitely something I'm going to go back to. One thing that's interesting with Tabac is that they have other flavors. And mm-hmm. I can't remember them all. I think there's a latte.
There is a latte. That one was sold out everywhere. When I was picking his brain, and he said, you can't get any other size right now other than Torpedo in the Dolce. It is one of the most popular cigars going right now.
I believe it.
Is it new?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think it is. And again, there are other coffee infused cigars.
The most popular one that I know is the Drew Estate Java Latte.
Yep.
And not Java in itself, because we're saying latte because it flows off the tongue well, but the Java Mint is amazing. I had
the mint, and it's pretty good.
That's one of Freddie's favorite. Freddie's my brother-in-law.
Yeah. And it's not one that I usually go to, but I have had that before, and it's such a unique taste that I'm just not used to, because I'm at the time where, you know, I have a cigar almost once a day, but like, it's just, I'm not used to having that much. Like, I don't know. It's something unique about the way cigars taste and the way that coffee tastes. Like, I feel like I could have a coffee every day, but I don't know. I'm not into a cigar every day, I don't think.
I would love to have a cigar 3 times a week. Ideally for me, in the winter, I was telling you previously, this is my first cigar since our last episode.
Right.
And I hate it. I miss it. And I don't know if it has to do with the kiddo and the puppy, the new kiddo and the new puppy. I'm sure it does too. But, you know, whether it be time or now the weather.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be my premier destination to smoke cigars.
I have a studio where we're going to smoke cigars. It's raining outside right now. We were talking like, man, this would be something good to have out in the summer under the umbrella with the sun shining.
Another thing too is I would normally go to our local Steamtown Cigar. Mm-hmm. Or the Big House, two places close to us that we frequent. In the winter, you can smoke right inside, so that's where I'd be. But with COVID,
I know
you can't.
They put and a now patio it's
spiking
out.
Like
I know we're dealing with a substantial transmission right now in Lackawanna County, and it's interesting because it's throwing everything out of whack, and you know, going virtual schooling and all that kinds of stuff is starting to get everybody all riled up again. And interesting thing that just happened with my cigar is my wrapper fell off.
I see that.
So I'm smoking the have you ever done that where you smoke the cigar after the wrapper
fell off? Oh, absolutely.
I can't let this go. I mean, this is so good.
Yep. I do regret not getting the box 100%. Well, maybe, I mean, we still could.
Yeah, they're still around. I think they're one other thing I do want to mention is cigar smoking is up. It's a very popular thing that people have started picking up doing during the quarantine and coronavirus, COVID, everything.
With that being said, New York just upped their tax.
Yeah, I saw that.
75 cents. So a $10 cigar is now $17. And that's
crazy.
That's crazy.
I can't believe
it. And I made a funny comment because a couple of cigar companies near us just renovated, and you can go and have the meal and have the beer and have your cigar right there, almost like a cigar pub.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made that funny comment, like, that's a brilliant idea. One of the few reasons PA is good to live in. And he's like, oh yeah. And then he started telling me about New York, and I was flabbergasted.
Yeah. For anybody who knows, I actually had a conversation about this not too long ago with somebody about pricing. And we talked a little bit about this in our first episode about how much you'll spend. I had a Leaf by Oscar, and it was like $12. I think I bought it in Lancaster because I couldn't find it at a local shop. And I was like, wow, $12 is expensive for a cigar. My brother-in-law, who lives in New York City, is like, $12. That's low compared to what we're paying. I said, I can't believe that. Like, I don't know that I would pay that much if the cigars were that high.
I wonder when it's going to start happening with other ground-grown products such as coffee.
Coffee's going to come up.
Such as, you know, marijuana, like when that starts going. And
EPA is going to be legalizing marijuana soon. Don't be surprised. And
it's weird now that, like, the government's starting to figure out marijuana and stuff like that, all ground-grown products, and how to tax it finally. I wonder when it will start affecting things like coffee and more so cigars and, you know, just something to keep your pulse on.
Oh, absolutely. And coffee and cigars, they grow in the exact same region. So we're going to see interesting things politically with
Colombia. And also with the beer and the hops. Yeah. And, you know, they all come from the ground. Wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
With climate, with political, with economics. I mean, cigars have a place in every single one of those aspects. And I think that we're going to see changes in pricing of, I've read a scary article that if the temperature goes too high, the coffee plant is going to have a hard time surviving and we may not be able to enjoy coffee as much as we used
Devastating.
To.
Devastating.
Yeah, kind
of. Speaking of news, is now a good time to bring up what we're going to be doing for future episodes?
Yeah, we could. That's a great idea. We talked about some things that we want to do in the future. We're getting close to the end. I'd say my cigar is at the point where...
I'm not far behind for once.
I know, right? Well, I mean, I'm enjoying the hell out of the cigar, but I'm at the point where now where I'm actually starting to burn my fingers. So let me take one more puff.
I'm absolutely nubbing myself. This is right around the time I would put it in my ashtray. Or put it in your...
in my fire.
Your fire over there, yes.
One thing that we want to do is we want to start a show, or shows in the future, with funny headlines from the news, because there's always a Florida Man, excerpt that comes up.
Threw coffee in the air and burned four pedestrians nearby.
Which is not funny in the grand scheme of things, but it's like so many
that
random things.
That shock random valueous.
Yeah, and they're funny jumping points that we do want to bring up in our conversations that involve things. So if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and you find a funny excerpt on a topic that we're going to be discussing, we usually come up with our topic roughly about midway through the month. If you see something funny that you want us to talk about, or you see a funny blurb in the news that we're going to be looking
us.
For, tag us. Make sure you send us a direct message. I know we're big on Instagram, and we're starting to get bigger on TikTok, and we're getting more and more followers every day. So we want to thank our listeners for that. We really enjoy having you guys enjoy cigars with us.
Before we close, how far did you get in your French press coffee?
I am actually done with this cup.
So I'm going to take my first sip. Because
really? Because you wanted it to cool down.
I did.
So this is the first time you've had French press coffee. That was part of the reason why I wanted to make this coffee, is because I thought Dustin would
have... Totally different.
Yeah, than the cold brew. You've been drinking cold brew this entire show.
I have.
And I waited until we made the French press, but...
It's awesome.
You like it?
There's a significant bite to it.
Yes.
And I like the bite. In the beer world, there's many different hops. One hop that gives you a big bite is a Galaxy hop in the NEIPA beers.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a very similar bite. It's been, what, about 25 minutes since you did it?
Yeah, roughly.
This is room temp. This is exactly how I like it. And first time ever having French press, I love it.
Good.
I'm going to be picking your brain on how to do this.
Yeah, and that's something.
And I watched you do it. It wasn't hard. You boiled water, you poured it in, you pushed something down, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, and from the perspective of, somebody who's a coffee consumer, we're both big coffee drinkers, but I think that that's the best thing about coffee and cigars is that they're, once you get used to it, they're easy to pick up. You can learn a lot about them, a lot of cool and interesting facts about them, and you can try new things. Now, hopefully our listeners will go out and maybe pick up a cold brew maker off of Amazon, or if you haven't got a French press yet, or even...
Both are under $30.
Oh, easily. Yeah, you can
the
get
one
French
I got
press
was at $29. I think yours was about that.
Mine was roughly about $20, if that.
And it saves you so much money.
It does.
I mean, the Dunkins add up, and a lot of entrepreneurs say, number one rule, stop drinking the expensive coffee.
Yeah. If you'd save that money, that $5 that you're spending at Starbucks or Dunkin' every day, that money's going to add
$35 up. $35 a week, and multiply that by 52, you're looking at about $1,700, $1,800.
Right. And that's a lot. That's a chunk of change that
absolutely
you can do and enjoy it at home. And same thing is true with cigars.
But you know what else is true too? Like, and it's silly, but the gas and the time.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and everybody's saying, I don't have a lot of time anymore. I don't have time. You go to your fridge and pour this cold brew, you're done. You're saving. Done. You're getting 20 minutes back in your day.
Yep.
Simple things.
Instead of waiting in line outside Dunkin' at 10 o'clock in the morning for every other person.
And every car is there now. It's a complete clusterfuck. It's the car's coming from every angle. Then you have that like Larry David moment now, like, okay, that car got in line after me. If he tries to sneak in before me, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah, right? And that's going to be one of our other topics. So we'll have to do shows on traffic. Can you imagine?
The traffic one, we'll have to get something nice and melancholy.
Yeah, right? Well, and again, we want to get some guests in here too. So if you have a topic that you feel as though you're an expert on, and we have a couple of guests lined up in the future that we're going to have come into the studio, smoke a cigar with us and enjoy themselves. Maybe they'll have a cup of coffee with us as well. But I'd say this was a fantastic episode.
Likewise. I learned a ton.
Well, good. I'm glad. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this. I would say that this is Mike from Ash Hats Podcast.
And this is Dustin from Ash Hats Podcast. Check us out on Instagram at Ash Hats Podcast.
Smoke them if you got them, everybody. Enjoy, and we'll see you again in a month. Have a happy Halloween.
Cheers.